worthy of it all. Amen? I mean, how many of you know that this whole Christian thing, the biggest part of it is us worshiping Jesus, us worshiping God? Well, it's about the stuff I get. I worship God because of the stuff I get. I worship God before I get the stuff I get. I worship God after I get the stuff I get. I worship God because He saved me from going to hell. I worship God because He loves me, even as unlovely as I have been. And He never brings up my past. He just says, son, are you going to follow me? Yes, Lord. You are my Lord and my God, my Savior. Amen. Amen. Last week I was talking about Psalm 34 just a little bit when I first started. Come on, bring that up here. Way to go. And it begins, I will bless the Lord with all that I have. His praise shall continually, be in my mouth. Where's this? What's supposed to be coming out of our mouth? Well, Pastor, I got a lot. I don't want to hear it. Just praise. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. How many know God wants all of us together praising him, worshiping him, exalting him? Amen. I'll just tell you, things wouldn't be as bad in some areas as they are if all of us were joined together worshiping God. Amen. But I got this when I first got saved. In verse 4, and I just love this. It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. How many know when you seek God, he hears you? It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Woo! Can I just tell you, having all your fears taken away is worth shouting about. Amen. I said amen. Verse 6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Do you know that since I've got saved, if something comes up that looks like it could be a trouble, I don't even worry about it. I just cast it over on the Lord. Lord, I cast this on you. And the crazy thing is, if you cast it over to him, he takes care of it. It doesn't get me anymore. You can be seated if you want. Number 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. That's where I got a bunch of my security, is because he told me back when I first got saved that I've got an angel. You've got an angel watching over you who takes care of you. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look at this. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You don't mind if I just get excited about this, do you? Verse 12 says, what man is he that desires life and loves many, many days that he may see good? It says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile or junk. You know, a lot of times you see Christians that are not walking quite in the blessing, and you listen to them talking, you know why? They talk trash. God says, if you want to walk in my blessings, keep your junk out of your mouth. Don't talk junk. Don't talk trash, especially cussing and junk. Oof, stop it. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Woo! That's worth shouting about. I mean, if the devil pops up with the trouble and you're seeking God, he's going to deliver you. Ooh, I like it. I like it. And then here's number 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, that sounds familiar. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But if you're seeking God, if you're stuck with God, if you're worshiping God, the devil's going to throw stuff at you, but you just stick with God and he's going to deliver you out of everything. Amen? I said amen. You ought to be happy. You ought to be full of joy. You ought to be thankful. Lord, thank you, Father. No matter what comes my way, if it's from the devil, if it's bad, you're going to deliver me, set me free, and help me. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this is, you probably didn't know this when you came to church because we didn't advertise it because we still wanted you to come to church. But today is small group Sunday for church, where we're starting our small groups back up. And what we really want to do is get you all encouraged to join a small group. Amen. Be part of a small group. It's great that we have church. It's great that we have the women's ministry. It's great that we have the men's ministry. But you know, small groups is when you get together with people and you can befriend each other. Yes. Can I just tell you something? There shouldn't be anybody in this church that's lonely. There shouldn't be anybody in this church who's wondering, does anybody like me? I mean, when you come in that door, somebody should know your name. And say, Wanda, it's good to see you. Because I can just tell you one thing. If you come in that door a few times and nobody knows you, you may not come back. Because all of us would like to be known for who we are. There's nothing wrong with that. But the small groups, to me, I think it's so important to get, because that's where you're going to grow and talk about the stuff you heard in church on Sunday. And the people that are a little more mature are going to be able to help the people that are just coming into God. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. And one of the greatest things for me is those of you who have been here for a while, you're in a small group talking to new people. And one of the things you can help them do is understand what I meant when I said stuff. Because sometimes I say stuff and people don't take it the right way. And you can do what Brother Joe does. He says, oh, don't worry, that's not what Pastor meant. This is what he meant. And explain it to him. That's a big help to people. Because the devil's always trying to twist people's heads and their ears and you know, make stuff that comes out not seem right. And man, what a blessing to have you around them where you can share with them and talk with them and help each other grow. Amen. Hey man, that's a big deal. I think it's important that all of us are involved because, you know, Sunday morning, that's awesome, but there's other days of the week. Yeah. Amen. Men's and women's, yeah, but there's other days of the week and hours in between. And you and I don't know about you, but I do know about you. We all need people. Yes. We need to have people that we can talk to. And, you know, I've been at this pastor thing for 40 years, well, 35 years. And I'm glad that I know pastors that can talk to me. That I have friends who can talk to me and say, what are you doing? What are you thinking? And because I know them and they're friends, I will listen to them. Because sometimes you and I can get strange. And you need somebody in your life that can talk to you. And it's a blessing. Amen. Amen. Pastor Nate, are you ready?
Hey guys, if you don't know me, I'm Nate. I am, they like to call me the small group cheerleader. Rah, rah, join a small group. Shish, boom, bah, join a small group. You need a small group. Everybody does. If you don't think you need a small group, I'm talking to you. And so I will really want to encourage a couple of things. One, we actually need more small group leaders. And so that means that's qualified people who take time out of their day to learn our protocol and make sure that they're given the heart of our church as well in this leadership thing. So we've got classes and stuff for that. So maybe it's not this time, but maybe it's next time that you're thinking like, you know what, I want to have people in my home. There was a really cool story long ago about a guy named Joe McGee. He was a really neat pastor, just evangelist teacher guy, really a teacher, really funny and stuff. Anyway, never forget that men's camp pastor. If you know, you know. I'm not telling you about it. Okay. Anyway, he's a super funny guy, and he told the story about when he got saved. He was at a factory, and it was just a normal factory. They were making, for lack of a better story, just they were making widgets, okay? And they were making widgets, and one day his boss called him in, and he began to, one by one, ask them if they were saved. This boss had the gall, the nerve, the audacity. It was workplace, and he was still finding out whether all his people were saved. And then later on, he invited them all over for a work party. And he got them all filled with the Holy Spirit when they were at that work party. And this boss, and he ended up just ministering and being a small group leader. Was he a businessman? Yes, he was a businessman. Was he a CEO? Yes, he was a CEO. Successful, doing great things. But actually, in the middle of it, he had an alternative motive. Have you ever been into one of those friends, they invite you over, and you're like, man, Susan invited me over. This is awesome. Me and Susan are going to hit it off. It's going to be great. We're going to have a new friend. And then Susan brings out like Amway, or Susan brings out like Tupperware, and you're like, wait a second, you're not being sincere. You just want to sell me Amway. And this is better because we're selling Jesus. And that's kind of how it should be. People that come over to your house, you're like, I thought they were just being nice to me and they want to get me saved. And that's an okay thing. And Joe McGee, as he was telling these stories, he even said things like, is this legal? This is supposed to be a work party and he's getting us saved. And it actually ended up being that every one of those people that ended up being in that small group, they all went into ministry. God used a CEO, a businessman, to make a change in people's lives. Some of you have dismissed yourself from discipleship and I would even say the Great Commission because you think you're not called to be a pastor. You are a work person in the work field. That's pastor's job, and I want to remind you that it's your job. I want to remind you that we have no greater responsibility on this planet than to get people saved and help people know Jesus more. If you can hear me, I'm talking to you. Everyone is involved in this. And I know that that's almost a daunting task. And then I feel like we're talking to a couple of people in this place. You feel lonely. And you feel like you've never really fit in with people. And that's a lie of the enemy. I want to remind you that there's people in this room who've gone through very similar things that you've gone through. And that they've actually come out the other side. And it's not until you get into a small group do you actually get to find those kind of people and find encouragement. And I really sense there will be times of refreshing of your spirit. I can't explain it, but there are times when you come together in a group and the Spirit of God starts speaking through that leader. And by the way, if you've never been on the giving end of that, being led by the Spirit is so fun. Being led, having unction from the Holy Spirit is so fun. It's a blessing, really. And if you're humble, you realize that you're not that smart and the Holy Spirit is really cool. And as you start to minister and you start to just encourage people, you'll say things that you didn't plan on saying. But this is what happens in that small group. Everybody leaves like, because it's not man's words, it's God's words. It's producing life in people. And exactly what Pastor said, it's like Tuesday feels a little bit better now. Thursday feels a little bit better now. If you're not careful, you start isolating yourself so much, the carnal mind begins to take over. And what I mean by that is you just start thinking worldly, worldly, worldly. If all you have is I started watching the news a little bit, or I started reading through a different news thing, and I started becoming more aware of COVID. And isn't it funny, they'll tell the most tragic stories. They're like, this guy was a young man, and you know, you're like, oh man, it's getting people, you know, like, and you can start having that thought rather than God thoughts. And so when we're not around small groups, when you're not around men's, when you're not around women's, when you're not around on Sunday mornings, these habits, you just have the world's influence. And the world's influence just begins to crowd your thinking. You think that way. And guess what? Here's something about the way you think. Sometimes you can't help it. It's just the way you think. Until somebody from the outside starts giving you different information and you're like, oh wow, I see that. And then revelation can happen. I see that. And then you find yourself in a different headspace. But if you never came to those small groups, you don't get that influence. All you're left with is your own brain power. And I promise you, it's not enough. I want to encourage you. Everybody in this place, you need to be in a small group. You need to be around like-minded people. You need to be encouraging one another. And so today I've got real quick, I've got just two quick points for you. I usually deal with next gen. Next gen is fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And we try to keep it simple for them to get it. And I believe that as we carry it over to the adults this morning, I believe if we keep it simple enough for you, even you after church, we'll be able to say, hey, what did you get out of church? The two things that we hope to do. And that is one, do not isolate yourself. Do not isolate yourself. I'm going to repeat it for the people in the back. Do not isolate yourself. And what does that mean? Well, a lot of times what we do is we stand aloof from people. There's two mindsets with this. One is that I'm a go-getter. I don't need nobody. I actually have a little bit of that mentality. I grew up, and my family, I'm just going to be a little real with you. My rest of my family is not saved. I come from... We lived in trailers, okay? So that's... I'll just say that. We lived in trailers. We thought people with new trailers, those were the rich folk, okay? And we didn't realize, when I was 18 years old and moved out of my house, I moved into an apartment, and we had carpet, clean carpet for the first time, and I laid down on my carpet. I was like, oh, look, I'm like rich people. You know, I was living in a Palladia apartments, you know? I'm like, I'm rich, you know? Like, look at me, I got carpet. My house don't got wheels. Okay, anyway, so... Like, that's where I come from, and there's been something about my life that and then they know that I'm a preacher, or they know that I'm a religious person, and I feel like I've just, whether this is there or really there, I don't know, but I feel like they're looking at me, they're like, fail, Nate, fail, please fail, so that we can say everything that you believe is wrong. There's just this, like, look at you, come on, fail. So when people say family, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I don't care about family. Because obviously, I know that's terrible, but in my brain, I'm like, I got to make it. And so sometimes when we isolate ourselves, we almost have this, like, shoulders back, nose to the grindstone, I don't need nobody. And in some ways, that's good. But in some ways, that's narcissistic. In some ways, you get so much into your grind that I don't need nobody. You're also not helping anybody. You're also, yeah, you feel like you're the strength of the world and you can carry it and you're tough and you're great, but guess what? You're not helping any, with all your strength, you're not helping anybody along. And so I want to encourage you, if you're that person, like, nose to the grindstone, I'm successful, and most of the time you're not that successful if you're really honest. Most of the time you're not really that nose to the grindstone if you're really honest as well, because we're all people and we're all the same. And there's another reason we isolate ourselves sometimes is because we don't want anybody to see the way we really are. Nowadays, we live in a filtered generation full of Instagram posts that are the best parts of our day and the best filters with the best lighting and the best circumstances and on vacations. And we're sometimes bragging about all the things we have and the stuff we're doing and the places we're going. We're afraid to bring people over to our house and let them see the stain on the carpet and the hole that the kids put into the wall when they were fighting. And we're afraid to let them be in our bathroom because it kind of smells like mildew. And we're afraid to let people really know how we really are. And there was a time I was hanging out with some pastors and really good dudes. And I was hanging out with this guy. We're biking. I used to bike. And so we're biking up. We're cool, tough dudes in spandex. And we're biking. And all of a sudden he says, Nate, how's your marriage? And my knee-jerk reaction, just going to be real with you. My knee-jerk reaction. Now, nothing's really wrong with my marriage, right, babe? Right? Yes. That's a good answer. I'll pay you later. Nothing's really wrong with my marriage, I thought. But my knee-jerk reaction, guess what it was? Good, great. How's your marriage, man? Let's talk. Like, it was deflection. It was instant, like, yeah, fine, great, awesome. And I found myself, even with a fellow pastor, don't show light. Don't show anything. Don't show your cards. You gotta nose to the grindstone. You know, you're good. You got it all together. And isn't that our knee-jerk reaction? It couldn't have even just been a simpler, like, dude, good, man. Thanks for asking. There was no humility in it. It was just pride. And small groups help us do that purposely every Tuesday night, whenever they meet, you know, you gotta. come in, and really that's why we actually need more small group leaders, because small groups, it's better when it's like a small group. It's better when it's like 3-4 people. It's better when it's 6 people. So I thought you have to have some people in your life that you're able to not shine on. Could we just be real for a could we get good at being like, dude, yeah, we had a fight this morning. And could we be better listeners in that and not judge and not be like, oh, man, really? Oh, Pastor Nate's having tough in his marriage. No, we just had a fight this morning. Does that make sense? We're a little bit real. And I'm going to even add this. Sometimes we want to have good, now I'm not going contrary to the word of faith. Word of faith, I believe, changes your life. I believe word of faith is biblical. It's not just a kind of a denomination now. I believe it's the way Jesus lived. He spoke speaking words of life. And I think if you're always speaking death and complaining, you're absolutely going to have what you say. But at the same time, there is a realness to locating where you're really at and being authentic enough to say, hey, this is where I'm at, this is where I'm going. It's like people who don't go to the hospital because they're afraid of the diagnosis and they call it faith. That's fear. That's opposite. Right? Go to the hospital, find out what you're in faith about. That makes sense. Anyway, that's free. So we say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, good. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Good. You going through anything? Nope. God is good. All right. You need prayer for anything? No. Well, praise the Lord. And the truth is they're good, are going through something, and they're just trying to mimic and regurgitate words of faith, but they're really not in faith. Does that make sense? Faith works. I'm not dissing on faith. I'm dissing on the mimicking of saying good confessions just for the sake of saying good confessions, and you think that your words somehow are like abracadabra and they're gonna work. I wanna encourage you to have a real heart of faith, and then when you have a real heart of faith, you can say things like, hey, our marriage is strong, but these are some problems we're having. Does that make sense? You can be both, being able to acknowledge. So you do that in small groups. So point number one, do not isolate yourself. Do not sit at home. Do not hide. Do not hear me even say this. You love me. Say, Pastor Nate, I love you. Thank you. God is great to Nate. There you go, Pastor. Don't you dare get in the habit of coming to church late and leaving early, running out the door. I gotta go. What do you have to do besides people? What is so important? Is lunch so important that you can't take a little extra time to say, hey, how are you doing? I'm concerned about other people. Amen. That was for you. Okay. I want to encourage you today. I want you leaving like encouraged, and so I'm not going to beat you up too bad. Hebrews 10:24 says, discover creative. I didn't even read the first version, but I'm going to read this version. It says, Hebrews 10:24 says, discover creative ways to encourage one another. Church, as a church, we're figuring out new ways. We're bringing people coffee. We're doing the best we can. Just, I care about you. I'm concerned about you. I love you. I'm with you. I'm in life with you. I can't, like, if it's been weeks, months, years since you thought about somebody else, that's the problem. But you don't understand what I'm going through. You know, there was a story of Wilkerson Jr., Rich Wilkerson, and he would actually go to prostitutes and like crackheads and people on the street who were really having a tough time, and he would try to get them hooked off, get them off drugs and onto other people. And he said the ones that they had the most success with was when we got them off of their own problems and had them start helping other people. They began to be stronger. He says, we would, if they just stayed in their own problems and tried not to do drugs, generally they went back to drugs. But if we could get them and get them involved and get them helping other people, there was something about a vitality, a life that when you start getting off yourself, I don't care if you're having tons of problems, come and be a part of a small group. Say, hey, I'm having problems, but I'm here to help. Rather than, all right, I'm gonna get myself all cleaned up. I'm gonna get that carpet stain fixed. I'm gonna get the hole fixed. My bathroom's gonna smell good. Everybody's gonna think I got all my stuff together, and then I'll be a leader. Well, that might be 100 years from now. Think about how many people you could help in the meanwhile. Discover. Think of ways to encourage each other and motivate them towards the acts of compassion. Doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time. Listen to me. Church, look, let you read. Like, I'm reading the Bible, right? If you don't agree with this, just tear it out of your Bible. But the rest of us, we need to do it. So this is not the time to pull away and neglect. But it's COVID. I don't care. Meeting together, as some have formed a habit of doing. If you're afraid, stay 6 feet away, but you could talk. In fact, we should come together even more frequently. Oh, you don't understand. I don't got time, Pastor Nate. There's another rerun on Netflix. You know, I'm not thinking about anybody, but if TV shows are more important than meeting with people, we got our priorities wrong. If you're more excited about a TV show that you got on a certain day of the week and rather than meeting with people, we mixed up. We're distracted. And I'm not picking on your TV shows. DVR it and catch up later, but go to small group first. Does that make sense? This is a priority. This is important. We don't miss it. So, and this really, I'm making a plug for women's and men's as well. So that means, I understand some of you guys, maybe the small groups don't fit in your schedules, and so I don't want to harp on you too bad. Like, maybe you legitimately work at those times, totally cool. But we also have women's and we have men's. And online church does not take the place of face-to-face contact. You can, is that pastor says something that offends you and you don't agree with, you just turn him off. And like, there, that's done. It's something else to be sitting in the service. You got to sit there and pretend you agree. Until the Lord shapes you up and smacks you up, and you're like, yeah, he's right. It's healthy to have. I'm not even say this, guys. When we're in relationship, you're going to have conflict. You don't have to defriend everybody on Facebook every conflict that you have. How mature are you? Are you in first grade or second? Come on. I can't believe I'm like, sometimes I'm being mean. I'll look at my, oh, they're not my friend again. Oh, they're my friend again. They're my friend again. They're not my friend again. It's, come on. We're better than that. We're more mature than that. When you have a fight with your family member, if you have a fight with your spouse, I hope that's not the end of the relationship. If we have a disagreement, we have a disagreement, but we're going to fix it, and we're going to move on, and we're going to walk in love, and we're going to keep serving Jesus. We're in this together. Okay, moving on. Did I say my second point yet? I was testing you. First point is, do not isolate yourself. Proverbs 18 says, an unfriendly person isolates himself and seems to only care about his own issues. Guess what? I'm not demeaning any of your problems. I'm not demeaning any of the things you guys are going through. I know we've got big problems even in just a church this size. But nonetheless, other people do too. And we're there for them. Getting off ourselves, do not isolate yourself. Second point. Disciple people. This is a non-negotiable. This is Jesus's last words. Like our Savior, whom we say we're followers of Jesus. If somebody interviewed you, you're like, are you a Christian? You're like, yes, I'm a Christian. Okay, what were Jesus' last words? Make disciples. Yeah, but you don't understand. I work. I'm busy. No. Make disciples. And that literally, and other translation, it means to teach people. That's a time-extensive thing. That's something that we're involved in. So this means that somebody is getting better in their Christian walk because you are in their life. I'm going to say this again, maybe just for the people in the front. Like this is, you being a Christian is literally your job, is to help make other people better Christians because you're in their life. Every single time, all the time, this is who we are. Now listen, it doesn't have to be 300 people, but it should be at least one. Rick Warren, he's a kind of a big mecca guy, pastor, that invented the idea of small groups. Not really, but actually church did. But anyways, he's kind of capitalized on it. And he said, get this, he says, 12 in a small group is great. 10 is better than 12. 8 is better than 10. 6 is better than 8. 4 is better than 6. Because the smaller group you have, the more place that you have for real interaction, real commitment, real talk, real checking in. And that is the value of small groups, real discipleship. So don't overthink it. When we say you have to disciple people, well, really when the Bible says it, look, Matthew 28, it says Jesus came close to them. And he says, all authority of all the universe has been given unto me. We like that part. We're like, yes. It says, now, wherever you go, I'm listening, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I've commanded you, and never forget that I'm with you every single day, even to the completion of this age. He literally says, guys, peace out. Make disciples. See you later. And that doesn't, he didn't say, go to church. Be nice people in the supermarket. Smile. Put a Christian bumper sticker on your car. Make very political posts on Facebook so everybody knows your ideology. USA first. He didn't say any of that. He said, make disciples. This needs to be the forefront of our minds. This is why we're on this planet. This is why we're sucking wind. We go to a job so that we can afford time to go make disciples. This is what we are. And I just wanna encourage you guys today, you can do this. It doesn't have to be everybody. I see some of the moms in here. Ladies, you can give a perspective of motherhood that young moms can't. You've lived it. Some of you guys made some mistakes with your kids, and I love you. But it would be awesome for you to go into a circle and say, dude, I screwed this up. Don't do this. That would be beneficial. Some of you did awesome with your kids, and you could say, hey, this really worked. That is the beauty of the collective. And these young moms, these young girls, they need your input. Some of you, these young men, and I hang out with some jujitsu kids, and they're like 20 years old, and they're saying, hey, like, do you hunt? Like, I'm like, no, not really. I walk in the forest and look for animals. But like, these young men are asking, like, they're like, they're looking for friendship. They're looking for older men who've done it, who's been there. And like this is something the world is searching for. Second point, just make disciples. All the time. Be a part of somebody's success in their Christianity walk. You can do it. Sometimes we get intimidated. We're like, I don't know very much. Just tell what you have. Tell what Jesus has done. Even just being an encouragement to somebody. Even when somebody is, they read their Bible for 2 days in a row. You're like, dude, you're phenomenal. Like, I'm on your side. I just made an Instagram, Facebook page or a fan page for you because I'm a big fan. Like, be somebody's cheerleader. Encourage them. Give them a text message in the morning. Say, you are going to kill it today. And I'm for you. Guys, we don't know what kind of impact that could have, how much better we could swing, how much better life can be when all of us around us are on the same page. I believe we're in this together. I believe in you, and you can do this. And together, I really believe we could reach more people. One last scripture, and this is kind of a raw scripture. Like I said, I don't like this scripture. I mean, there's some scripture I don't like, and this one, it's tough. It's hard. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another. And we don't like to do that. Like, I don't even like it when my wife tells me I have stinky breath. I'm like, you have stinky breath. You see what I'm saying? Like, we don't like to admit it. Like, don't smell it then, you know? Like, we're not concerned about fixing the problem. We just want to, no. So it's tough to admit that, man, I stink, or I did wrong, or I messed up. But there's health. And literally, if you read this scripture, the Bible actually says, confess your trespasses to one another. And then it says this, and pray for one another that you may be healed. If you look at commentaries in this, this is kind of where the one religion has gotten off, and they think you have to go and confess to a certain deity or a pope or somebody like that to then you'll be healed or then you'll be restored. That's not what it's actually saying there. It says we were getting people healed and delivered from diseases, and right away they would say, well, confess any of your sins. Is there anything that you've fallen behind? And then we can get you healed faster. There's a health to saying, hey, let's clear the air. I messed up. I had this attitude. And this also gives a context of quickly confessing your faults that when you hurt somebody else's feelings. It's an idea of unity. It's an idea of let's clear the air. There's a health to it. You ever met those ladies who arms crossed? We won't say their names, but they're just mad at the world, and they're angry, and you talk to them like, yeah, I'll never forget Susan. She offended me 25 years ago. I'll just never forgive her. And they're like mad at the world, like relax, like let it go. So there's a health to coming to inside groups and saying, man, they did me wrong, I'll just forgive them. And why? So there's healing and mending. And this is the way the church is supposed to live. So I hope I encourage you today. There's only two things I want you to take away. Don't isolate yourself. Disciple people. Love you, church.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Nate. So I just want to give you some quick instructions on how it's going to work today. But first off, I want to say we have crumble cookie for you. I mean, if you've never had crumble cookie, then you're missing half your life because they are so good. So we do have crumble cookie just to help you stick around and stay connected. We got coffee out there. But hope you all got one of these brochures with all the information for small groups. So if you've had a chance already to kind of look through and pinpoint one that you're interested in, that's what we want you to do. So what we want to encourage you is if you're a small group junkie, okay, like you go to every small group, you're there every time, that's awesome. We love that. But we are trying to keep our small groups at 12 and below. And we want to leave room for those of you who maybe haven't had a chance to attend a small group before or hadn't had a chance to sign up. So we're asking for you small group junkies to sign up for the next leadership course when we do our small group leaders. You would be a great small group leader. And also to sign up for just one small group to start with, okay, so that we can leave room for everyone else. And then if you have another one that you're really interested in, just go over there and say, hey, can you put me on the secondary list? If you're not full, call me and then I'll come, okay? So like do that kind of thing. So one to start and then leave room for others to sign up and be involved. So what we're gonna do is actually dismiss the small group leaders right now if you didn't already leave. They're gonna be out in the lobby with clipboards, with sign up sheets, and then they have a little flag that they're gonna be holding in the air so you can easily spot your small group leader. And some of them aren't here today, so somebody else may be holding their sign. So make sure you look at the list and verify which one you wanna, and it might not be the person on the named here, but their sign up sheet is out there. So please sign up for those. So you'll go out there, you'll sign your name on the dotted line. Yes, I wanna be involved in this small group. And then here's the next step, church. Show up. When the small group happens, show up, be there, communicate with your small group leader if you're going out of town or you can't make it to all of them. That's not a requirement, but it's not just signing your name, it's committing that I want to be a part of this group. I want to be a part of this discipleship. I want to be a part of this conversation. I'm going to commit myself to community in our church. I'm going to commit myself to being a part and not just coming and being a pew sitter, but being one who's involved with what's happening. Okay? So don't just sign your name, commit to come. And if it's, you know, if you can't, not sure if you're going to make it to all the dates, that's okay. I don't want to make you feel bad. You don't have to make it to every single one if you're going out of town or whatnot, but just make it a commitment. Like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And then don't let silly little things like, you know, you need to do the dishes stop you from going when it's small group day. All right. So stay connected with the leaders. They have little cards. They'll give that to you. It has their phone number and the address and all the information that you need. So you are dismissed. Go out there and grab some cookies, crumble cookie, and some coffee, and sign up for a small group.